Okay.
Sunday, April 2nd, 2017, Rabbi Menachem Liebtag. Are we really not obligated to eat matzah for 7 days? Pshuto shel mikra versus pshuto shel Torah.
Okay, it's 8:50. Let's start. The source sheets I gave out, they're just extras. They're not critical for the shir. The main thing you need for the shir are two chumashim. We'll see why two in a minute. Unless you have a good memory. So if you don't have chumashim, take these around. Ruchan, pass a couple around.
Yeah.
In case you get bored or lose track, just learn something in the meantime. Okay. Now, I want to begin with 5 minutes, which is as simple as possible, just to explain the title. Okay. From what you remember, how many times does Chumash say to eat matzah for 7 days? I'm assuming 7 times without counting, but just go through them real fast. Where's the first time we had it? In Perek Yud Bet in Parshat HaChodesh, before we leave Egypt. Remember? God tells Moshe, eat matzah for 7 days. We read that nine days ago. Okay. And then when we leave Egypt, in Perek Yud Gimel, it's in your Trillin, but you can't see it. It says, Moshe tells the people, remember this day you left Egypt, and eat matzah for 7 days. Got that? We'll see that soon. Then in Parshat Mishpatim, what are we told? With the Sholosh Regalim, Shibat Tamim Tocha Matzot Mevechodesh Aviv. After when we get Yud Gimel Midot Rachamim, when we do a retake of all the Beinu B'Makom thing, we repeat the same thing. It's a little different order, but that's famous. Okay. How about Vayikra? That's Shmot. That's like four times in Shmot. How about in Vayikra? In Parshat Emor. I think it says, eat matzah for 7 days. They take it for granted, and then spend 7 weeks. How about Bamidbar? Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar. Do we have it? It better be. It's in the Chagim. Remember the 2171? In Pinchas. In the Chagim. In Pinchas. Should I move further back? Yeah, I should move further back. Okay, now they got all this. I got stuff in the mess here. And so complicated there. Okay. And if you don't have a Tanakh take from, I mean, a Chumash take from here. And so we have them, but Midbar, and what else do we have? Parshat Re'eh. It says matzah for 7 days, so it says short, but it doesn't say matzah for 7 days, does it? Sure it does. Now, so every book has it, except for Brishit. Actually, Brishit has matzah, that'll have a different shir. That's Lot. Remember that shir. Lot, the story of Lot is the micro, but he's having some in the macro. Remember, there's matzot, like mamea, there's, I'm coming down, I'm going to check it out, I'm going to know, I hear a cry, remember, it's Sakat's film, remember? I can joke for a second. You know what this sinner's film was? Thanks to that, this is boring for us. Sakat's film, Maraki. If you got it, it's fine. Okay, in trouble. Now, that's a terrible sin. Now, back to, what? If you're reading Jewish people. Now, back to this year. What was I telling you? Oh, so it says, a lot of times, eat matzah for 7 days. And what did the rabbi say? Everyone keeps Pesach. What did Chazal say? Are we chayav? What would a keret say? A firm keret? Even a modern keret. A keret light. What? Eat matzah for 7 days. Maybe not at night. Okay. That's how, maybe not at night. That's mostly Kedash, but not eat matzah. Okay. And what did the rabbi say? Just the first time. And just tell me by heart the pasuk they quote. No, you're right. What's the classic one they quote? No, I want the classic answer. The other answer, because I'll give. How do we know you only eat matzah the first night? But every matzah. Remember that? We're going to start this shit with that puzzle. Open up Perek Yud Bet. Open up Perek Yud Bet in Shmot. Perek Yud Bet in Shmot. Pasuk Tetzav. I'm going to go back to Parshat HaChodesh a lot today. Perek Yud Bet in Shmot, Parshat HaChodesh. What do we have to? Pasuk Tetzav. Good, Pasuk Tetzav. Shivat Yemim Matzot Tochel, Avim Shetesh Kusomi Botechem, Kipal Kameitz, etc. Now, skip to Pasuk Yudchet. Have it? Pasuk Yudchet. Barishon,
What's that pasuk telling you? How many days do you have to eat matzah for? From the 14th to the 21st. Got it? For 7 days. What does Chazal do with that pasuk? They truncate. You know what it's like? I call it chutzpah. I'm trying to show you. Shutosh Shem Yigrad, you can't say that Chumash says only in it at night. It's almost like saying, you're obligated. Wait, are we? Are you obligated to work 6 days a week? It's in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? And the firmer you are, the less you must be done. It says in the Ten Commandments you're supposed to work 6 days a week. But tell me why it says that. It's just you can work for 6 days a week. It's a promo for Shabbat. Got it? And if you want to start beginning with how Chazal are reading, in the same way that work for 6 days a week is a promo for Shabbat, eating matzah for 7 days is a promo for not having chametz. Except for the short ones with the Shlosh Regalim, whenever it talks about eating matzah for 7 days, somewhere those pukim is don't have chametz. Ask an average kid, what would be more important? I'll show you with the story. I always a couple little kids from camp, a camp story. Camp Stone. It's a made up story, but it happens all the time. There's a cereal called Crispex. Sometimes there's surplus. So in camp, they get surplus, like real cheap. They get the day's almost over. They get tons of Crispex. So they're going on an overnight called a schmutz, or not overnight, on a hike in the morning. And all the kids get a box or two of Crispex, for snacks. But they're walking, they're only, each ninth grade. And they're going to get lunch later on. That'll come with the camp truck. So they walk for 4 hours. It's a three-hour distance. They're supposed to walk through, it's come a while. They get there for lunch after hiking for 4 hours. And guess what? The truck's not there. So what do they eat for lunch? The Mandrakim figured they made a mistake. There's no walkie-talkie then. They walk another 3 hours to the other spot where they're supposed to be. He's going to be there. Go there, time for supper. Guess what? No truck. What do they eat for dinner? Crispex. Got it. Now, everyone in that fuel, for the rest of their life, when they see Crispex, what are they going to remember? They made good memory, bad memory. Well, it depends. There's one guy who had like He had an extra box, and there was one girl who, when he comes, we didn't have nothing to eat, and she didn't have anything to eat. She was like really sad, and he gave her a Crispex. They started talking, and like 4 years later, they got married. And that's how they met, and the rest is there. Now, that couple, on their anniversary, because he's Jew, what did they do? They have Crispex. That's the family day. June 29th, I think it was. They always had Crispex for dinner. And for lunch. It was a family thing. They always had Crispex on the anniversary. And everyone knows it's a family. The kids know. Come grandchildren, they come over to the anniversary and everyone's eating Crispex, but they don't know why. So what do the parents have to do, or the grandparents have to do? Tell the story. Now, keep that in mind. You understand the analogy. Because that's pretty much why we eat matzah, isn't it? Because what happened when we left Egypt? We were not in a rush. We were rushed out by the Egyptians. That's what Chumash says. We were rushed out. We were no rush at all. We might have been. We were not in a rush. That's crystal clear.
Tomorrow, think so.
What?
What's my mom?
Today's the dinner. Biblical. We'll get to that.
Sorry.
Okay.
Go far.
Okay. Just read. You're in Parakeet Bet anyhow. Go to Parakeet Bet Pasuk Lamed Dalet Lamed Gimel. Egypt is convinced after 10 plagues, we've done this shit before, but after 10 plagues, Egypt is convinced that the reason why there's so many plagues is because the Jewish people have to serve a God in the desert. Moshe warned them before the third plague. If you don't serve a God at 3-day distance in the desert, it'll be better in heaven. Got it? They don't believe it. They heard the thing, and God's got this master plan. And after every plague, Moshe warns them, if we don't go serve a God in the desert at 3-day distance, it's going to get ugly. Plague after plague. And after the Parshat Bo, the beginning, after Barad, after the seventh place. Remember, Adnei Parah tell him, go ahead and go serve the God. At Matai, Yadet, okay, Shalach, Hamashim, Yadu, Elohim. And Moshe and Paro says, okay, let the men go. And then negotiations break down. After Choshech, you know, let men, women, and children go. Just leave the cattle on. And that's not good enough for Moshe. Moshe Paro gets really angry. Then finally, after the 10th plague, you read this, didn't you? After the 10th plague, Paro says, okay, everyone go and serve your God and make a mishmeret for me. It's all inside. No. What convinces the Egyptian people that the God of the Jews is behind, or the God of the Hebrew is behind the plague? The warning all the time. What convinces them the Jewish sacrifice can stop the plague? Korban Pesach. And therefore, after Makat Bechorah, people are dying, and it's ugly, it's really bad, and those threats are really coming true, and their life is on the line. And after they're sure, they've seen all the Jews who didn't die in Makat Bechorah brought a Korban that day, and they've been insisting for last year, the reason for the plague is they have to serve a God in the desert. The main people who want Israel to leave Egypt are the Egyptians, not to leave Egypt for good, but to go serve the God in the desert. And that's why they're willing to lend, to borrow. We have a beautiful minhag in Shul. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. We have a beautiful minhag that, I won't say what gender. We go dress the shul with fancy dresses and jewelry. Remember that? Especially when we go to shul to serve our God. Because we don't want to make it look like we were lying to the Egyptians. Because when we left Egypt, what did we tell the Egyptians? We're going to serve our God. We need jewelry, and we need fancy clothing. We can't go there. And they lent us whatever we wanted, because we had to go serve our God. And ever since then, we have a beautiful minhag of, before Yom Tov, my clothing. That's Simcha Yom Tov, isn't it? No, I'm sure that's the Makor. No. Now, how do we get, okay. Now, why do we do that? Just to argue with it. So listen, now that we have, look at Pasek Lab and Gimel Perikidah. But the Chazak Mitzrayim Alaam Lemeret Shalchan Min Haaretz Kemru Kulam Beitim. Why are we leaving? Who's kicking us out of Egypt? We're being expelled by the Egyptians, and not just Pharaoh. It's an Egyptian order, and all the entire Egyptian people were behind this. Then we talked about this because if Pharaoh gave us permission, a couple of Bene Gibrics would have left. We need to get the Jews out of Egypt. Pharaoh has to do the dirty work. Abri Ki Biyat Chazakah Yigashem Biyat Chazakah Yishachem Yatzol. And we left Egypt with Paro's Yad Chazakah, and Egypt's Yad Chazakah, but the Chazak Mitzrayim. And therefore, now looking at Pasek Lama Dalet, we were not in a rush, but they were rushing us out. And by Sata Beteko Termi Chmatz, got that? And then we borrowed. And then in Pasek, then we traveled for the days from Ramses to Sukkot. Now listen to Pasek Lama Tech, you're going to read it here, Seder. V'yafu et ha-patzek asher otim mi-mitzayim go matzah v'lachameit. We didn't take matzah with us when we left Egypt. We weren't commanded to take matzah with us when we left Egypt. We weren't ready for leaving. We'll prove it in a minute. Ki korshu mi-mitzrayim. Got it? V'lo yichlu yitmameya. Just like lo. V'gam tzedan lo sulahem. Were we ready for redemption? Of course not. That'd be our theme today. When we left Egypt, we were totally unready. We left because Egypt kicked us out. We were rushed out so quickly we had to take the dough with us. They met us later in Beit Challah, for whatever we had to make that morning. Now, after we leave Egypt, take a look. Now go to Perek Yud Gimel. Okay, I think it's in your villa. By that Rashi Moshe Lemor, Kaddish should call for Rechmanis Lehu. What's Moshe tell the people? Listen to Pasuk Gimel. V'yavar Moshe La'am. זכור את היום הזה שיצאתם ממצרים מבית עבדים, כי בכל זה הגיע להופיע השכת מזה, בתוך המצות. לא, אני רוצה לצאת. What's it saying? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Once they leave Egypt, and eating matzo is a big experience, what should it say? You know what it's like saying? It's like on that anniversary. Okay? Instead of eating crispex, what do we do for anniversary? We're not going to eat Cheerios. That wouldn't make any sense. You follow the analogy. But that's how we're celebrating. It's almost, I think it's called a non sequitur. Yes. Remember this day you left Egypt. And everyone thinks the reason we eat matzah is to remember how we left Egypt, isn't it? And then if we're leaving Egypt, that's not okay, so you take that one. If we're leaving Egypt, and the reason we have to remember that God took us out of Egypt, and we're eating matzah to remember the experience, then the main commandment should be eat matzah to remember the experience. For some reason, what does Chumash say? How do we remember? Don't eat chametz. Now, continue reading, and Chumash will explain itself. What's it say? When you get to the land, do this avodah. It's a korban pesach. We're eating matzah. We'll see. Shivat emim tocha matzot. If you have a shvichah of Hashem, matzot diachel shivat emim. Lo yirat kol chametz. Kol gula. Then you got the bavipa. Because when you get to the land and generation after generation, we'll see what this is coming from in a minute. You eat matzah and don't eat chametz. If you go back to Parshat Chodesh, what seems to be more important, eating matzah or not eating chametz? The logical reason would be the main thing you're doing is eating matzah to remember how you were sort of taken out of Egypt. And to make sure I eat matzah, I can't have chametz. That's a simple explanation, but that can't be. Because what's the punishment for eating chametz? Chareis. That's something that's cardinal. It's got to be something covenantal for this chayitore. Mechalal Shabbat. If Shabbat is an oak tree, so, kilu mikdash. That's correct. You don't do brit milah. Or from a mezzah, we'll see. Because it's something that relates to the covenant between God and His people. There's got to be something terribly wrong with chametz to be chayav toreh. And that's my introduction. When Chazal tells us there's no chiyuv to eat matzah, they know it says eat matzah for 7 days. They're following not the Shutosh HaMikra, but Shutosh HaTorah. The Torah is telling you the most important mitzvah is not chametz. And to make sure you emphasize getting rid of your chametz is more important than every mother knows. Every Bala Basta knows, right? Yeah. It's much more important thing when you bring your chametz. It's way more important than eating matzah. Then you can go to the store and buy it and become poor. That's why it's called lechem honi. You buy it and become poor. The main mitzvah is getting rid of your chametz. Historically, Am Yisrael has accepted that. And Chumash is telling you that. And that's why we're going back. When Chazal say, they're not explaining what the Pasuk says. They know the Pasuk says exactly the opposite. But they're on to a much deeper thing, which I want to share with you, where it's coming from. Where that thing is coming from. Why is the emphasis getting rid of your chametz? I'll give you one last example of a midrash like that. Is there a mitzvah to have children? It's a mitzvah to have children, according to Chazal. Who's commanded? All mankind? If you read it, you're a Karaite, you would say that. You read Chumash, you would say that. What does Chazal say? It's easy. It's Daf Noach in Sanhedrin. Don't catch. Because it's about Noach. What does Chazal say? Only Am Yisrael is chayav. That's a sugya. Is it one of the seven Noachai laws? Count them up. It's not one of the seven Noachai laws. They don't count it as one. Is it one of the Tarak Mitzvot? Yes. It's a mitzvah for us and not a mitzvah for them. Now, what pasuk did Chazal call? And who's he talking to? To Noah and his sons. The opening line and closing line of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noah is Purvu. And what does Chazal come and say? It's, God's not talking to Bnei Noah, he's talking to us. I told you how they read it. They say Batem Purvu is not Chumash, it's not Mosh, it's not God talking to Noah and his sons, it's Chumash talking to you, the reader. Batem. It's like a parenthetical, oh, you audience, you guys are reading Chumash and Shmuel, you guys have to approve. And when do we fufill it? Sefer Shmuel, Rukhne Yisrael, Paru, like Shritzum, that's what, where's that, like, where's it coming from? So they quote Dafke the Pasek, where it's about 10 Puruvu Shritzum Arat Zerubuva. That's what we know. They're on to something. Because Puruvu is nature. Because even the fish get Puruvu. That's not a commandment. It's like, Ruduba the Kipshua is not a commandment. That's nature. Everything in Parabalat and Rashid is the nature of man. Man does it because same reason animals do it. Every living thing has to reproduce itself. And it's instinctive. We have to do it because we said that's a Benishma. When we accepted to be God's people in Har Sinai, we took upon ourselves to be God's people forever. To do that, there's two things you have to do. You have to have children and you have to teach them Torah. Our two biggest expenses. Now in this area. It's a fortune. What I'm trying to show you is that logically, thematically, it makes sense that the Jewish people are commanded to have children. Not only because it comes naturally, but because you have to. And the Pasuk Chazal pick is exactly where it shouldn't be. To Bnei Noach. Because they want you to study. Exactly where we're talking to Bnei Noach, said that's only for the Jewish people. Exactly where it says eat matzah for 7 days, they say only at night. Only the first night. I'm trying to share with you how I understand these midrashim. They want you to think. I call them Pshuto Shetoras Avot Pshuto Shemikra. They know what Chumash says. They're totally aware of it. They're not pulling your leg. They're telling you something deeper is going on. And I want to share with you where they're coming from with Sefer Tehillim in a minute. Now, to begin to appreciate what's going on, I think, we have to go back to a bigger question in Parshat HaChodesh. How much time do we have to prepare for the first Korban Pesach? How much time do we have? You have 2 weeks, don't you? From Parshat HaChodesh until we Korban Pesach, we have 2 weeks to prepare. Korban Pesach is with the lamb, right? We have to shek it and everything. What do we have to eat it with? With matzah. You read that. Why do we need the Korban Pesach with matzah? You ever wonder? Because it's got to be a good sandwich. But is it to remember how we left Egypt? What's the logic of eating matzah with Korban Pesach before you leave Egypt? You'll fool the kid at the Seder. You're still awake. That question. You ask the kid, why are we eating matzah? Why? Because we rushed out of Egypt. And we say that, Rabbi Gamliel, don't we? We quote that blessing. But then, why don't we command to eat matzah with Korban Pesach before we leave Egypt? Got that? So there must be some reason, there's got to be another reason to eat matzah other than the fact that we were in a rush. Now, I'm sure we've done this before, but the classic reason everyone gives is that chametz, is a symbol of Egyptian culture. And now you can check in Wikipedia, you can check, study the history of beer, fermentation, and beer all began in Egypt. Pretty sure it's documented. Bread making. Egypt was known for bread. Anyone in the Middle East who needed bread, where did they go to? Egypt. Not just for grains. Now, for fermentation to take place, you need sun, you need water, you need heat. You learn chemistry. And Egypt is a perfect place for the first accident, for the first mistake to happen, to someone to discover fermentation. And Egypt was, I'll give you an example. There was a minister in the Egyptian government who was in charge of baking. You ever read about him? There's a minister in the government, Sara Olfin. Got it? He had a dream, way before Martin Luther King. Now, what was he dreaming about? About his job. He was dreaming about all different kinds of bread? I think so. And how about his advisor, if I think? The guy who pours his drinks is the guy who makes decisions, in case you follow the Sar Mashkim, it makes sense you have a Sar Mashkim. How's he going to make a political decision? Not a little. You don't have something to drink with. And what's he dreaming about? That's his wine about grapes, isn't it? Grapes are making wine. The reason for the dreams is simple. How does Yosef figure it out? Maybe he read Chumash, because it was before. Or maybe he knows what's going on. Because what's the symbol of Egypt? Bread and baker. What's the symbol of the land of Israel? How many wineries? Ask the Moroccan, what did they come home with? With grain or with grapes? They come with grapes. To this day, what's the symbol? How many wineries do you know from Egypt? How many wineries from Israel? Way out of proportion to the size of the country, the amount of the country. So you have Northern California, you got France. But Israel's up there, isn't it? Israel is known for its grapes. It's the climate. And therefore, how is Yosef interpreting the dream? That foreshadows the whole story of Egypt being destroyed or being punished, and Israel being saved. It's going to take a couple hundred years till it happens. I think that's that opening scene, I think, is really a foreshadow. Now, if that's true, that can begin to help us understand why eating matzah is important for the Korban Pesach. And this will take us to our main topic. When we leave Egypt, we're not ready for redemption. Remember, we got Seidah Lasulah. Do you remember Yeshua? Achiru Lachan Seidah, with all the parallels to Yitzhak Yitzhak. We're not ready. We'll prove it from other Pesukim in a minute. Why aren't we ready for redemption? Because we're not interested in redemption. Are we crying out for redemption in Sefer Shemot? Why don't we cry out at the beginning of the book? Just the Pesukim. We're crying out from hardship. We're in, now, I'll go back to that camp analogy with that young age. So this guy has his eyes on her. She's not ready for dating yet. Understand? But he's going to do something. If he would ask her out, no way. You follow? He's going to do something. It's called shtick. Because it'll take a while, but sooner or later, we got to get to Har Sinai. Use that analogy to follow them. That's what Yechezkel talks about. It's in your Haggadah also. more quote from Yechezkel about what?
Only one phrase.
Only one phrase. What I'm trying to show you, whatever it says Shenemar in Haggadah, look up the source. Look up the source. There's always bound to be something related to it. We'll see lots of examples of it. Shenemar doesn't mean stop thinking, it means start thinking. Look it up. We have a minute, Shenemar, and we just read it like a ritual text. We're onto something every time. If we're not ready for redemption, in fact, I think someone was told that if you don't get your act together, right, the same makot that Egypt received, you're going to get the same things. What pasuk is that? In Bashal, from Shmod, Vazakim Mitzvotah, Vashmat Kvotah, Kol Hukav, Kol HaMachalah Hashem Yitzan Dosim Alecha Ken Hashem Rovah. That's the end of Perek Tevah. End of Perek Tevah. Right? Mara. Right after Kol Isha, right after Shirat Miriam. Remember? No. That wasn't the reason for all the trouble. Now, back to, that wasn't the reason. The, Purim's only a month ago. If we weren't deserving of, we weren't ready for redemption, and we have a good excuse. What excuse does Chavash give us? Mikotzurach me'avodah kasha. Now, if you have that source sheet I gave you, some of you have it. If not, I have a couple more. About what's more important, eating matzah or halach? It's in your... Here, you need more. A couple of these. It's in your book as well, though. Just a couple of these books. I want to show where it begins, but I want to try to explain what matzah symbolizes and why it's so important. So I want to begin with what we know by heart, with halach ma'anya. You know the words by heart. Just translate it for me, halach ma'anya. This is bread that makes you poor. Or is the bread poor? How do you say poor in Hebrew? Ani. Or is this the bread of affliction? How do you say affliction in Hebrew? Ani. Spell, same gematria, the same thing. How do you say get answer a question? No. Vanita Vamarta. No. Or is it conversation rib? What does Chazal say? Lechem shonim ala dvar nave. What is, we'll see the pasuk of Lechem Oni in a minute. But Lechem Oni, all three explanations make sense. But I want to kind of understand how we use it in Hanukkah. What's Lechem Oni here? So first we go Karate Chapel the Maza, Yachat, that gets people's attention, doesn't it? It gets kids' attention. It works every year. Sometimes you repeat the same shtick every year and people, they remember. And what do we say? This is the same Lechem Oni that our forefathers ate in Egypt. When did we eat matzah in Egypt? So what did we learn in kindergarten? When we were slaves and all that. There's no source for that other than the kindergarten teacher. maybe there's some, she will find something. It doesn't say anywhere in Chumash that we ate matzah in Egypt. We ate water, know what it says. We had Tishuim, matzah in Egypt. But it never says anywhere that was our staple, though. It doesn't cost any more to let dough rise and feed the matzah. They definitely didn't eat cardboard. They ate, Egypt people ate bread. Everyone in Egypt, bread was a big thing in Egypt. When was the first time we ate matzah in Egypt? At the first Seder. Now, this is not matzah we ate when we left Egypt. This is matzah we eat that our forefathers did in Egypt. When was the first time we ate matzah in Egypt? At the very first Seder, wasn't it? Now, you remember afterwards we had this invitation called Dichrin? And everyone knows the question, how come it's called a Jewish invitation? You're not, everyone sat down already, the door's closed, everything's, you made kiddush already. It doesn't make sense to invite people now. Sinki Borlach, you have to remember. But that's not shadow of what we're saying. We're not inviting anybody, we're quoting our forefathers. We just mentioned our forefathers, and we said, this bread I just showed you. We're starting a conversation with the matzah. We break the matzah to get people's attention. We start a conversation. Hey, listen, look, everybody. This is the same bread our forefathers ate in Egypt. When? At the first Korban Pesach. And what did they say to one another in preparation? Because they knew Aramaic. No, that was Hebrew Aramaic, because they switched Hebrew. You're saying in a language that people can understand. We're not saying they spoke Aramaic. We're saying we're translating it for the people. We're starting a conversation, at least the beginning people have to understand. So this was composed in time on Aramaic, was a mamalash. But you throw a little Hebrew in it, don't you? It's not only Aramaic, because you say the Shanamah, which is Hebrew. So we say, anyone in need, come and eat. Anyone who need, come and join the Korban Pesach. This year here, not in the land of Israel, hopefully next year in the land of Israel. This year in slavery, next year, free. There's only one time people could say that to one another. When were we in slavery, hoping to be free, not in the land of Israel, hoping to be next year, eating matzah, and inviting one another to Korban Pesach? That's Parsha HaChodesh. Because what's the first commandment the Jewish people receive? No. Who said Rosh Chodesh? Everyone says that. Who gets the commandment for? Not everyone decides the calendar. Only the Pentecostal. Only Beit Din decides the calendar. Moshe and Aaron need to know that. Moshe doesn't tell the people, you decide the calendar. What's the first commandment the Jewish people get? To form a group. Around. Read it. It's. See the word bayit? Form a group. The nuclear unit is a house. That's how the Jewish people begin, with a home, with a community. And inviting one another, make sure everyone's accounted for. That's the first commandment you have. And we continue that at the bayit. The bayit is so central. I don't care what Sefer Devarim says, but Shmuel, I mean, I can't wait to see Sefer Devarim. We'll deal with it later on. But in Shmuel, we Paskin like Sefer Shmuel. Obviously, don't we? Except now we're, some people are rocking around Sefer Devarim, so you know what I mean. Most people, they won't get anything, most people have the Seder at home, at least used to be that. No. Some people, that's Shmuel. Shmuel says it's in your home, do the same thing next year. That's anywhere but coming to Yerushalayim to bring Korban Pesach. Barney, you can't. You can only do it, and boy, don't even think about doing it anywhere else, because Dvarim is worried about Bamot. Now, according to Dvarim, it's got to be at the national center. So we don't have a national center, so we have the closest thing, we have the hotel. So people are not going to say for Dvarim, go to hotels, hotel programs. People are not going to say for Shmuel, do the center at home. Not going to sell 50-50. So as a unit, right, we're keeping both of you. But there's no doubt the bike is central in the center. Different. What did our forefathers do for the first Korban Pesach? They had to invite one another. And that's the first commandment we have, to form a group and to do something to show God you want to be his people. If you don't train, if you train staff at camp, the first thing you do is you teach people how to work as a group. I'm not sure, that's just a joke. It's central. If you're going to be a nation, if you're going to be a community, if you're going to be a people, you have to learn how to work together. Or at least know how to argue. Yeah, what to argue about? Remember, there's always good reasons for sin. Now, sometimes it takes 70 days. Now, the people have to put a group together. Got it? And you have a korban, but how do you eat the korban? Why with matzah? So if I'm assuming correctly, then Am Yisrael wasn't ready for redemption. Like Chumash says, and we see later in the Cheskot, it's explicit, we see later also in Tehillim. We weren't ready, but they have a good excuse they're not ready. We need to do something to show we're ready to leave Egypt. And our goal, Moshe Rabbeinu's job, is not just to get the Jews out of Egypt. His biggest job, in terms of his last name, Rabbeinu, is to get Egypt out of the Jews. How to get Am Yisrael ready to be God's people? It's going to take 7 weeks in the first term. What are we going to do? We have to do something symbolic with Korban Pesach. And we have to start a conversation at that family meal. And therefore, we have to have a nice family meal. We have to have meat, we have to have bread, we have to have salad. But it's going to be a symbolic meal. And what's going to be the main course? An Egyptian god, who eight plagues earlier, we would have been stoned for doing something like that in public. And now we do it in public. Taking the Egyptian god and burning it. Remember when Moshe told Pharaoh after four plagues? If we would bring a korban in Egypt, he'd stone us. It would be a toivah in Egypt. And we're going to eat it with anti-Egyptian bread. Those of you remember old enough, remember when we did have French fries, we had freedom fries? Mm-hmm. When we were hanging with friends, when we should listen to them? You do things, every nation has its food, its national food, that represents it. If chametz is a symbol of Egyptian culture at the time of the Exodus, eating the Korban Pesach with matzah is going to spark a conversation about why we're leaving Egypt. And taking Egyptian God and remembering you're leaving the bitterness of what they will mean to you. You have to sit down to a nice meal, that's first and foremost. But there'll be symbolism in the meal. If you know people from America, that's called Thanksgiving dinner. when you sit down to dinner to be thankful for how you began as a nation, you pick special kind of foods, and that's the thing. That's the way humans are. No. What?
I just went to the barbecue, so I'm not supposed
to. That's why in America you can serve falafel. And Yom HaTzvot, it's in Korban Pesach.
That's made in America.
So if that's the case, when we leave Egypt, let's assume we're not ready. I have to prove that we're not ready. When we remember our redemption, it's more important not to remember that we were redeemed. We have to remember why we were redeemed. But more so, we have to remember that the first time around we weren't ready for redemption. So you meet matzah to remember how God redeemed you. That's for kids. That's exciting. That's the Christmas. But you have to, night chametz, that's for adults. Remember that redemption is a two-way street. And if you want to be redeemed again, if you really believe Isham Dalabatayna Valanu, God can redeem us again, and we can be God's people again, you have to remember we have to be worthy of being God's people again. That's Isham Dal, that's going to be. If you're going to ask for future redemption, and claim you believe in future redemption, and you believe the theme of the Jewish people, then there's no point in celebrating how God saved us from Egypt if you don't remember you have to be ready for redemption, and we weren't ready the first time. So how do we remember that redemption and thanking God for our freedom? There's a reason for our freedom, that He chose us to serve Him, and we have to be ready for God to be God's people. Symbolically, we get rid of anything that's bad. So when we left Egypt, what was the symbol of evil? Chametz. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with chametz. It's what it symbolizes. It even makes it to Parshat Vayikra itself. But you cannot commit something as bad. The symbolism might be something more universal because there's something like phony about it. Because it looks like more than it is. Maybe it reflects haughtiness. Asking the Chassid of Sharon. But bottom line, pick whatever hashkafa you want. Whatever is bad, that's chametz. In fact, I think it's not that the laws of chametz are the laws of Avodah Zarah. I think the laws of Avodah Zarah are the laws of chametz. That was one of the laws of Avodah Zarah. You can't own it, you can't have enough from it, you have to burn it, you have to cover it, beat to all those things. So chametz has the status of Avodah Zarah for that week. But getting rid of your chametz, I think, not only for 7 days, before you bring Korban Pesach, you can't have chametz. What pasuk is that? Lo tishchata chametz gam zivchi. If you bring Korban Pesach, you didn't get rid of your chametz symbolically, it's like Tova b'sheres b'yoda. If you're, for adults I'm talking, if you're going to thank God for your freedom and thank God for God being involved in your history, at the same time you have to remember you have to be worthy of your redemption. I have friends that have a beautiful custom that, like, they talk about the past redemption, you know, before the meal of the whole thing. They say half of halal because they think so. After the meal's over, they talk about future redemption. They sing songs about it, they sing halal about it. But before they start future, before they talk about that, they invite a personal trainer to the Seder and help them do tshuva. You ever heard about that guy? You invite him also. Who is he? Eliyahu. And some people have even a nicer minute that the Shabbos before Pesach, to remember that, they read all about him. In Malachi. Which is a lot, because Eliyahu was not coming to tell. Eliyahu was not the Redeemer. Eliyahu was not coming to announce redemption is coming. Harbinger or something like that? That's not it. That's not he. That's not his job. You know by heart. Hinenu chisholechem et Eliyahu Navi. When? Lifnei b'yom Hashem HaGadol v'Nora. And what's Eliyahu's job? V'shim le'vavot d'abanim le'et banim ala otam. Finish it for me with, we don't sing. Finish the line. Here's my chidon. You better, no one's bar mitzvah after all. Teno bo v'kinti et aritz cherem. Because if you're not ready for redemption, it's going to be ugly. Remember, lo melechem yom Hashem v'chol shafu l'or? That's where all... When you're asking for redemption, it's not that you're God's, you know, spoiled child and just daven hard enough that God will come and redeem you. God wants to redeem you. You have to be worthy of His redemption. Pesach almost becomes parallel to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, where the main idea, symbolically, getting rid of your chametz has to symbolize getting ready to be God's people again, getting rid of your bad behavior.
No,
I want to show you. That's how Perek and Tehillim understands Brigat Lavivka. We'll see sooner in a minute. Now, I've gone on the page I gave you, just read from Rechonish, in Korban Pesach. What's it say next? In Pasuk Yudal, we have all the laws of Pesach Mitzrayim. And then what's it say in Pasuk Yudal? V'aya ha'yom hazeh lechem lezikaron, v'chadlo tevetochat l'Hashem, v'dorotechem v'atem v'kogo. This day, what day? What day is Pasuk Yudalev? What's Hayom Hazeh in Pasuk Yudalev? Well, it could be Rosh Chodesh. Why could it be Rosh Chodesh? Because how did Perek Yudalev begin? God's talking to Moshe and Aaron on Rosh Chodesh. Talking to Moshe and Aaron, or just Moshe? How's Perek Yudalev begin? Both of them, isn't it? Moshe and Aaron. Tell him that this month is the first month, and tell them so get ready on the 10th and the 14th, etc. And then this day should be a day to remember forever. What day? Rosh Chodesh? Or maybe what day? The day you shed Korban Pesach. Right? You talked about that last year, didn't you? And the year before, and the year before. What am I talking about? Yachav in Rosh Chodesh. Got it? That's we got to live. That's in Perek Yud Gimel. Because what Moshe is telling Am Yisrael in Perek Yud Gimel is based on what God tells him here in Perek Yud Bet. What's God tell Moshe? But this day has to be a day to remember forever. What do? Eat matzah for 7 days, and even on the first day, Tashmitu Sorbi Botechem, Ki Chokal Chavetz V'Nikotah Nefeshim Yisrael. Why is there now a chiyuv of Avistur Karet for eating chametz? Now it makes sense. If Korban Pesach is thanking God for fulfilling Brit Benatarim, that's obvious. When we bring Korban Pesach, it's Korban Hashem, we're thanking God we fulfilled what we promised in Brit Benatarim. You fulfilled that. And Chumash screams that at the end of Perek Yud Bet, doesn't it? It was 30, it brings up 400 years. Betz HaMiyom Mazeh Otzi Hashem Kutzibot Hashem. God fulfilled that. We thank God for fulfilling His promise to become a nation and watching our history of Brit Ben Aftarim. If at the same time you're not ready to be God's people and you just thank God for redeeming me and asking to redeem, to help me again, and you're not ready to be God's people, now if you don't get rid of your chavetz when you thank God for your redemption, you don't understand the covenant. The consequence is correct. Just like you don't do Brit Milah and you have an opportunity. It's not a punishment, it's a consequence. You don't recover Pesach, I think. Also, you have Karet. If you could, I'm pretty sure. Remember the two essays? You have Karet?
Yeah.
It's not a punishment, it's a consequence. Because they're both, the two covenants God makes with Avraham Avinu, Brit Milah, Brit Ben Aftarim, are the two covenants where if I don't fulfill them, Korban Pesach and Brit Milah, then the consequence is you have Karet. I think if you can't do one without the other.
You make the Shomer for
them. Does Chumash say that somewhere that says, then you don't do Brit Milah?
Yeah, so
where?
For Bris or for Pesach?
For Pesach. Where does it say that you can't, if you don't do Brit Milah, you can't have Korban Pesach? Where is that? Where? Before we leave Egypt, after we leave Egypt? Well, look at the end of Perek Yud Bet. Look at the end of Perek Yud Bet. Pasuk Mem Gimel. That's why you need both of them. You need both open now. Keep Perek Yud Bet open. Parsha Avodah open on one side. And now go to at the end of Perek Yud Bet. And we're out of Egypt, aren't we? Cool. We're in Sukkot. We had matzah. We were in a rush, the whole thing. We were rushed out. We ate matzah for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner. Yeah. And what's God tell who? Who's God talking to now?
Moshe.
Moshe now, or me? And what's he telling? Zot kukata pasa. 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 Now, when did God tell this to Moshe Rabbeinu? Before or after? Why would you think it's afterwards? Because that's where Chumash is. Remember out of order. Now, read the Pasuk Nun and tell me when this was done. It's about, the main thing here is you can't read Korban Pesach without Brit Milah. It says it five different ways. And if you didn't get it the first, the second, the third time, what's the last Pasuk say? Right before that, what's it say? Call Rech Haloya Kabo. Like you didn't say beforehand. It's emphasizing something. And then after God tells that to Moshe, what did Bnei Israel do? What's it say? They did it. That's got to be before they left Egypt. So where does this belong? It belongs in Parshat Chodesh, doesn't it? Tell me exactly where Parshat Chodesh belongs. Go back to Pasuk Yedal. Vayah hayom hazeh lechem lezikaron. Lechavot abotoh had Hashem bezorotehem kukha tovah kukha go. Is that Chag HaMatzot or Korban Pesach?
That should be the day.
That's right. And then what should follow? Zok chukata pasa. Because madotem chukat olam tovu. What are the laws of Korban Pesach Hadorot? Now, certain laws of Korban Pesach are only Pesach Mitzrayim. Where do we find them? That's when Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael in Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Kabbalah. Right? Moshe doesn't tell them about seven eating matzah for 7 days, does he? Look at Kabbalah. After God tells Moshe the laws of Parshat Chodesh, Moshe should tell them everything. Except what does he tell? He only tells about Pesach Mitzrayim and how to do the blood, which is a check of Pesach Dorot. Does he tell them about Pesach Dorot or not? Sure he does. Look at Pasuk Kabbalah. When you come to the land, do the Kabbalah this month. And if your kids ask you, why am I bringing Korban Pesach in the month of the spring, what do you tell them? Not because we left Egypt, because God saved us from Makat Mechorot. And even if we did leave Egypt that night, there'd be a reason to bring Korban Pesach. Don't you think that in your Seder? Even if God didn't take, even if he only saved us from Makat Mechorot, there'd be enough to say thank you?
Yeah.
Can you account for why there's no mention of Kiyakari is here, only Pesach Sheni? For Pesach.
Wait. Where is it mentioned Kari now?
I said, can you account for the fact there's no mention of Kiyakari is there's no,
Pesach and Shmos? I'm pretty sure there's no mention of the Amisor of Kiyakari and Tahar Sina.
I'm saying, it's only Pesach Sheni. That's
now, even now, what we have in Perik Yud Aleph, I mean, in Pasuk Tevah, eating matzah for 7 days, I think it was given later. I'll show you what. Go back to Pasuk Tevah. I want to show you the Parshioter flip. We have a flip set up. Because the end of Perik Yud Bet, I thought this is a little confusing. That's why I put it to Fashi. The end of Perik Yud Bet belongs in Pasuk Tevah. You understand why? It says, keep Korban Pesach for all generations. Chukat Olam Tov, and then that should be followed by Chukat Pesach. And Moshe tells him about the laws of Pesach afterwards. But I'm differentiating between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot in two different sections. Because the laws of Pesach Dorot, even though they were kept in Pesach Mitzrayim, they have their own parsha at the end. It's like a footnote. When Kodesh is out of order, it's a footnote. Now, let's read the laws of Chag HaMatzot and tell me when this was given. Torah from Pasuk Tevah. שיבת ימים תוכם מצות החילה ומתספיתו סוב יפותיכם כי כל חמץ ונקבטן אנשים ישראל ושמרתם את המצות כי בעצם יום הזה הוצאת יציבותיכם מארץ מצרים in simple pshat, when was this given? When? After before we left Egypt. Okay. It seems like, yeah, so all the parts are valid by this. So they say it's a bargain from Mati, or maybe it's a... They bring up the pasuk, but that's what the pasuk was given later. But God knows it's going to happen, because he knows the future. But why write... Why say it now as though it happened already? Does Moshe tell this to the Jewish people or not? In Pasuk of Al Tachachet, when he talks to the Jewish people, after Parshat Chodesh, does he tell them about Chag HaMatzot?
No,
not a word. He only talks about Korban Pesach. Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot. He doesn't say a word about Chag HaMatzot yet. When does Moshe tell the people about Chag HaMatzot? Only when it makes sense. When they leave Egypt. All these laws at the end of Parshat Chodesh about Chag HaMatzot and Yisroel Chametz, Moshe only tells the people after they leave Egypt. And Perek Yud-Gimel. Because now it makes sense because we were rushed out. Because now matzah symbolizes how we left Egypt. But then we had the Chiyum Koreh. Now, why is Moshe bringing them together? Why is Moshe out of order, I want to say like this? If we only had the commandment to eat matzah for 7 days, after we left Egypt, you would think that the only reason we're eating matzah and giving rid of our chametz is to remember how we left Egypt, just the gratitude side. I want to emphasize that getting rid of your chametz is central to Korban Pesach itself. Not to the end of leaving Egypt, but being prepared to leave Egypt. The preparation for the Exodus is going to be the key. And the emphasis, if Isor Chametz Lodorot, is going to symbolize understanding why you were redeemed, the adult message, which Amisha wasn't ready for when they're leaving Egypt. They're not there yet. It's not on the radar. God wants to get them there, they're not ready yet. So we just tell them the simple things. Like the SOS stuff. But then we have to go through an educational process to want to be in Har Sinai. When we're gonna thank God and recover Pesach, we have to eat matzah to remember we weren't ready. And to turn over a new leaf. I'll prove it to you from two places. First, on the source sheet, if you have it, go to the source E. That's Parsha Be'era, so go to the source E. In Parsha Be'era, what does God say? Remember, Adi Hashem, they run them all day, and then the Chayim Morgan says, Adi Hashem will save me from Gal Kippur, and then by heart. And then Moshe tells Bnei Israel before the Shonot of Gula, Adi Hashem, I will show you, means I'm your boss. It's not to prove he exists. They know he exists. I'm your boss. It's the first statement of the Ten Commandments. They don't obey Moshe, but Moshe Moshe. It's unclear what that exactly means, but simply they don't. What were they supposed to obey? But Yechezkel explains this. Look at the source sheet. Yechezkel Perachav. Yechezkel is talking to people 7 years after Galut Yoyakim, 4 years before the Korban, the first wave of exile, and he's warning them about, you know, don't get choked up, you're not going back. They're begging him, we want to go back to Israel. We want to go back and be redeemed. They're Doresh God to bring Gula. And Yechezkel tells him, you don't deserve to be. And he gives him a whole speech, how bad he's been since you left Egypt. That's the Pesukim also from Perek Tzayin, with Hodat Yerushalmi Tavotel. Yechezkel's job is to explain to people, you're not ready for redemption yet. You need to stand in the corner for 7 years. Then we'll talk about sovereignty again. You misused your sovereignty. You thought God was working for you, you're working for God. You lost your sovereignty. And just now, he has to tell them also it's not over. You're not pride bones. You're going to come back to life. It's going to take a long time. And he tells them how bad you were. And you know what? You've been bad since the day I met you. And he says, look what happened back in Egypt. Amar lehem. See if I'll say, come side. You're adulting later. Each of you say, now, Hashifu. We should have said, now, Pitama, and Yashem, and look at him. Got that? That's what God asked him to do. By a moving in Egypt. What did God want to do? In Egypt, we were not worthy at all for redemption. There's tens of meters in that, but there's Menteshari Tumar, if I remember. There's the Chamushim, the four fifths who died in Koshech. I don't think I take those literally, but they're reflecting our lack of readiness to be taken out of Egypt. It explains, if you follow me, moving to follow me. God's goal is to have a nation to serve him. God's goal is not just to free a slave people and have them live in a certain land, only people with certain genes living in a certain land. God wants a nation to make his name known, that properly. Not to act like the Egyptian people. To be kind, to be sensitive, and we're going to take, that was another show, we're going to redeem our history and remember how they mistreated us so we don't do that to others. And that'll be replete through every law section of Chumash. So you have to remember it every day, because that's how we become God's people. And what Egyptian culture was bad, that was that. That's from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur leading at Mincha. And don't act like Canaan. And then we have all the Arayot, and that's what they did. And don't you dare act that way. So before we leave Egypt, according to Yechezkel, and it's alluded to already in Chumash and Shmuel, Am Yisrael isn't ready for redemption. But they have a good excuse, because Torah Me'avad HaKasha. God redeems us anyhow. That's the mantra. I have a name. I have my reputation at stake. I want a nation to serve me. Okay. I want to help you, but now you have to be ready for redemption. You have to get rid of your chametz. And therefore, I think that's why I call Pshuto Shel Torah. The main commandment of chametz is to remember you weren't ready for redemption the first time, and you better be ready the next time. So let me show you in Sefer Tehillim. First, let me show you Sefer Torah. Then we'll go to Torah. Open up Sefer Torah, Perek Tzayin, Mor Torah Shabbat. When you bring Pesach to the Bakar, you probably remember it by heart. We live in the Rio. Look at Pasuk Gimel. In the spring, when you bring Korban Pesach, what's it say? Look carefully. You bring Korban Pesach here in the spring, what's it say next? Lo tochal alav chametz. Before what? The main thing is when you bring Korban Pesach here in the spring, why? To remember that God took you out of Egypt. When you bring Korban Pesach, don't you dare eat chametz with it. What do you do instead? Shivatimim tochalo matzot lechem oni, which I think now means conversation bread. Because by eating matzah, it brings up the conversation. You tell the story. Ki b'chibazot yitzat mitzrayim, because you were heavily rushed out of Egypt. You weren't ready for redemption. Why? L'mati skor yom tzeit chamer zan koyim echayam. The goal of the yearly celebration is the daily memory. The Rambam counts as one mitzvah. One continuous mitzvah, I think you go under a chayav. Because you're always chayav. You fulfill it twice a day. That's why Elazar ben Azariah, he never understood Why get every day and every night? Until Ben Zoma quoted this pasuk. Because the main commandment is every day. Is every day Mother's Day or only is Mother's Day once a year or every day?
Every day.
So why do we have Mother's Day? So we have to make a once a year celebration to make sure it's a daily memory. And therefore once a year I go to Shugah to make sure that when I remember every day, because that daily memory affects how I behave. That daily memory is core memory. It's process of memory. It guides your day-to-day life. When you say Shema, when you pledge allegiance to God's people, and you remember how you were mistreated, and how and why God saved you, then that's going to affect how I act the rest of the day. I'm just going to get them in, or tomorrow. It should last at least 12 hours of time. Because that memory has to shape your behavior. You have to remember you've chosen to serve God. You have to remember how you act, the society you built, the way you conduct your life as a people, as a nation, as a person. That's what makes God's name, that's what sanctifies God. I need to remember that all the time. That memory is core to being Jewish. And therefore, Chumash invokes that memory all the time as 24/7 memory. Once a year, I go to Shugah to make sure my daily memory is important. That's why we quote that conversation in the Seder. It's part of the introduction to Magid. Remember, I never remember what Mesav and Asari said, I didn't understand the next thing, and he quotes that pasuk. Because Chumash is using these Zor Chametz and eating matzah to start a conversation about not only that God redeemed us and He can redeem us, but why He redeemed us, and our need to be part of that redemption process, to be ready for redemption. And our need to symbolically get rid of our chametz has to go hand in hand, to the point that if you don't understand that, you're cut off. Now, but I want to support what I'm saying with the Perikin Tehillim, which I think is a pretty strong support. It's harsh, but we'll read it. It should be, some of you have it in your packet. Those who don't, take it from here. I think if there's an English and Hebrew version, pass this around that way. If you have it in your packet, you don't need this. You don't. I have all these. I got this out of my versions. A couple hundred. Pass this around. Most of you have it in your packet. Maybe you have it. You don't have it. Yes, I don't have it. Pass it around. You didn't mind that. You'll need this page because your browser is not strong enough. Last page. You're passing back that way. Pass it to the back.
Yeah. There. Everyone over here needs. Here we go. Okay.
Look at Tehillim Ayyufet. And I want to share with you another Shenemar where we stop thinking. Because later in the Seder, it's way too late. Everyone's zooming because everyone's angry because everyone's like, Yom Kippur Kotel and Shmos Lo. And everyone's starving. And we get the makol dance for day out. It's already close to the end. Are you allowed to do that or not? Okay. Don't ask. Now, then we say multiplication tables to make sure our children go to be good accountants and to good math. So we start at a very young age to learn multiplication and division and things. And one of the things for sure we do is really strange. Not for sure we go from 10 to 50. That's easy. That's about the up. Then we say that every plague wasn't really 10 plagues, every plague was 4 plagues. Remember that one? Rabbi Lezer tells you that. Rabbi Kibbutz can't outdo him. Remember? He said, every plague is 5 plagues, because he has another comma. And then quotes a pasuk out of nowhere. And you say Shinemar, remember the pasuk you quote? Yishalach mem charon apo. Continue. Remember that? Everyone remembers saying that, don't you? Did you ever once in your life look up that pasuk? Of course not. You don't have time. You have to read all these new haggadahs from here. No. Take a look at the pasuk inside. I did the hard work for you. I formatted it already. Look at pasuk mem tet. You see pasuk mem tet?
What
seven? Perek ayin tet in Tehillim. You take the whole page. That won't help you. It's not going to help you. Sometimes the computer's not going to help. Here, take it. Look at pasuk mem tet and tell me if that's what you're quoting in the Seder. Of course it is. Isn't it? That's what you're quoting. Now, just look quickly, starting from mem tet. We'll get the context of the parak in a minute. We'll go back. Don't cheat and look ahead. Just follow me now. Mem tet. Lo zachuet yado asher yom asher badami nitzar, asher samba mitzayim ototav, motav esteitzor. Amisol did, God's angry. The Mishmor is angry at the Jewish people. Boy, is it angry. Saying, Amisro in the desert didn't remember all the things that God did for them in Egypt. They didn't remember all the makot God did in Egypt. And after witnessing all those miracles, the Six-Day War, After Mitzvah Kol Kedem, they didn't affect their life. It didn't have an effect on them. They saw the Makom and they didn't internalize it. And they didn't build their faith in God with them. Then he gives a list of what God did. You see, Pasuk Mandala has a plague? That's done, right? Then hang. I give it away. I wrote it for there. Every Pasuk has a plague until which Makat Mahoro. See, Nun Aleph? From them, Dalet, Nun Aleph, every Pasuk has a plague except one. What Pasuk does not have a plague? Memtet. Surprise, surprise. Now, what's Memtet describing? There's one plague that's double. What plague is double? Bara. Now, Bara is double because Pasuk Mem Zayin talks about Bara against day 3, and Memtet is Bara against day 6. You understand what I told you? What did Bara did? What was made on day 3? Vegetation. Day 6, animals. Bara hit everything got great. Now, and because Menzai Memtet is describing Barad, so is Memtet. And therefore, Memtet is a description of Barad with 5 different adjectives, or 6 or 4 different adjectives about how bad Barad was. Now, why was a Barad a Makkah we should have learned from? You know why? Was there anyone else who really learned this lesson about Shuvah from Barad?
Paro.
Oh, big time. Because what's Paro say after Barad? Hashem HaTzadik HaNiman HaRashayim. Paro learned this lesson from Barad. It didn't last very long, but at least he learned a lesson from them. And we didn't learn a lesson from Barad? Now, which plagues are missing? Just for the fun of it.
Hoshah.
Yeah, there's word plagues. Hasat. There's no Hoshah here, right? Kinin is missing. What? Kinin is missing, Shkin is missing, and Koshek is missing, right? Every tic tac toe? Which Makot are missing?
The
369. And what's special about 369? There's no warning. Now, if I'm learning from something, I told you so. If I didn't tell you so, there's less to learn from. It could be that's why they're missing. That's not important for the shir. What's important for the shir is this pair. And that's, first of all, that's on a technical level, that's the drasha of Yishlach Ben Korona Bol. The drasha makes sense. But if you don't know that it's talking about the Makot, you don't appreciate the drasha. But the drasha at this point is just cute. This drasha is an agada, what Rabbi Kiva wants you to do. Rabbi Sefer Azariah, and what the Bala Agada wants you to do, whatever he wants, he wants you to study Tehillim Ayin Chet. Now let's look at the header of Tehillim Ayin Chet and see what it's about. Maskil Asaf, have it? Asaf, the lady appointed by David to write the compose Tehillim. Ibrahim Amin is mentioned before us. Hazina Amit Torati, Hatu Azekhan Nimer. Who is plagiarizing? Who is in his form of plagiarizing? What imagery is this bringing up? Shiva Tazino, which is about what? What's the word? Sir. Don't blame God when things go bad. Blame yourselves. Remember, Shikai Lo Lo, Bana Mumma. Hada Shepi Kuluzon? Study history and learn from your mistakes. Kori Moto Lambinish on Dodo. You know Shiva Tazino. You're hyped to know Shiva Tazino. I think so. What's to know by heart? At least write it down. Isn't there a good spot like that? The last one in Polish? No. What again? We have to come on Mashal Fiyah. They have to be Kerem. Listen, good Gimel. Asher Shon Anu Bilei Da'ein Ma'am Tim Sipulam. There are things, stories that we heard from our parents. Lo Nechachem Bibnehem, the Dora Chrom Sabin Tidot Hashem, the Zutab Bibnehem Tav Shur Asaf. We heard stories about the Bible from our parents. We better not dare hide it from our children. Things that we heard from our parents, we have to pass down that Masorah to our children. Masorah is a big deal in Judaism. This is Masorah. This is what they didn't know. We have to tell the story of what happened and tell it to our children, and we can't hide it from them. Why? God now told us stories, he gave us laws and instructions. And we're also obligated to teach our dead children because we have to be God's people forever. We have to have children and we have to teach this to them. The hard truth as well, the rough stuff, not just the fun stuff. Why? The next generation has to pass it to the next generation. Not from here, it's next, not last. They should put their faith in God. They shouldn't forget all the great things God did. And keep his laws. They should be committed. And what's the most important reason why to study Chumash? Pasachet. One of the goals of Jewish education in studying Chumash, if you call it, is to learn how bad the first generation was. And what nickname do we give that generation? This is the generation of my teacher. Again, imagery from Sefer Dvarim. Where's that phrase, Dor Sorel More, coming from? From the Ben Sorel More, who's killed Asir Sobo, remember? Who's not following, there's no point in it. You realize how harsh that is? That we're calling the generation of Egypt, the generation of Kabbalah, of Sefer Bamidbar, we're calling them the Dor Sorel More? And we're giving a reason why it didn't work. Dor Lo Echim Nibo. Lo Dem Na, okay. Lo Dem Na Ruhol. They weren't ready for redemption. And their heart wasn't ready. They didn't mind being redeemed, but they weren't ready to be yet God's people. They don't mind God helping them conquer the Makedim. Didn't mind, oh, we can go conquer the land of Israel. God's going to help us. He's like, he'll give us military support. We'll praise him if he helps us with victories. Do we want to be his people? Do we want to set up a society of Mishpat Nisraqa? That's not the Makedim. The Makedim don't mind God working for them. They like God, oh, God can come and save us. But God, we can't come to Israel until we're ready to be God's people. And that generation wasn't ready for redemption. They weren't ready to be God's people. God tried his best to train them. And they had a good excuse, but they weren't ready. So the fact you have a good excuse doesn't mean you're ready. We had a good excuse. A future generation, when we thank God for our exodus and God saving us, what's core, what's critical do we have to remember? That we have to be ready. And there's almost no point in thanking God for redemption if you're not ready to be people again. Because others have the same faith as Dora Mitzvah. Therefore, part of learning Chumash is learning from the mistakes of our previous generation. And then he goes and rips it to Am Yisrael from Pasuk Tet through Lamedei, about how bad we were, especially over the month. And we did learn lessons over and over again. And every once in a while we prayed to God, we were phony. And we remembered God was there, and just spoke to Lamedei Matah. Bechatu b'tifiyam v'shonam yichasvulo. Look at Lamed Zayin. We prayed that it was phony, Lamed Zayin. V'livam lo lachonimo v'lo dandot v'rifito. What happened? We weren't ready. So why did God give us another chance? Who knows the Pasuk by heart? It's got 13 letters, I think. Remember, Lurachu Yechaber Olon? It's a doubling every once in a while. Lurachu? It's in the Yechabod, it's in Hodu, it's in Kornar. Understand? It's up for me. Shouldn't one time in Jewish education know where the Pasuk is coming from and how important it is? Because all that was important. And they put it in. So why did God give us another chance? He's willing to give us another chance. Why? He's going to give us our name up. We're human. So he's willing to give us a different chance, another chance. Not just to pray, but to become better. And therefore, what I want to suggest is, I'm using Tilly Mein Ket to support this. And Tilly Mein Ket continues how the time period of David got it right. And that's why God dumped Olo Yosef. And that's why Mishkan Shiloh, which was corrupt, didn't work. I dumped Mishkan Yosef, I killed all them. And now I move the leadership to David because he's doing Mishpat Tzedakah. And he understands the idea of the Mikdash properly. So in that context, David is saying, Rosaf is saying, our generation finally got it right. Keep up the good work. Doesn't it? But every generation has to remember how bad we were. Remember, I want to claim this, is that that's the deeper message of Chameitz. You can't tell that to kids because they're not ready for it yet. They're not education ready. But adults seem to know that. And therefore in the Seder, we have this frontal message to kids. It's all about the kind of, it's all about gratitude and thanking God. And that's the open message to kids. Below the surface, throughout the Haggadah, is a deeper message for adults. That we better be ready for redemption. And thanking God for redemption has to come with being prepared for redemption. And I think that getting rid of your chametz symbolizes that idea. It starts the conversation. Eating matzah, getting rid of your chametz. And it has to follow a soul cleansing the same way. Like any Hasidic brother will tell you. I think everything I'm saying is in Hasidut, isn't it? Not what Chametz represents.
And not,
what?
It's not a good argument in that place.
Okay, but I'm saying reflects. That's not a proof. It's that it supports. Tili Mein Ket is a good argument. It's a good proof, isn't it?
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm suggesting that what Chazal say, you're not Chayti Matzah percent, even from which says you are, they're onto something good. What do they realize? The main commandment is getting rid of your Chametz. And I want to de-emphasize the Matzah to make sure I emphasize the Chametz. It's just what Chumash does. When Chumash says you can't own it, you can't see it, and you're high karet for giving it, it can't be something technical. It's got to be something deep. If it's karet, it's got to be something fanatic, something basic. And I like this, it's the most basic point in Judaism, where redemption is a two-way street. And Am Yisrael can redeem, he continues to redeem, but if you're not ready for redemption, it's never going to work. And it's not a God who works for you, it's a God that you work for. So of course God will help you, you can pray to him, he can help you. But if you don't prepare for redemption, don't understand the core values of why God took you out of Egypt and how the memory of Egyptian slavery, has to guide your daily behavior so you don't do that to others, and build that just society, then it's like Tovah B'Sheretz Biyodo, if you read Korban Pesach. That those, when you're going to thank God in the spring with a new start, it's got to come with not just getting out of Egypt, but getting Egypt out of the Jews, or getting your Yitzhar out of you, or your bad behavior out of you. Now, what defines bad behavior? I go, that leave it. Just pick whatever hashkaf you have. This is more. It has nothing to do with which hashkaf. It's a Zionistic, but it's whatever hashkaf you have, that's what Chametz needs to be about. It's too harsh for little kids. I think it's important for adults, and I think that's what's hiding behind the message of Chametz. So that was my title, that Chutosha Mikra is eat matzah for 7 days. Chazal go out of the way, in the strangest ways, they have to pull matzah, and Chazal says eat matzah for 7 days, to de-emphasize matzah, emphasizing Chametz, because the following what Chumash is telling you to do. And behind it, Yisur Chametz is something very basic, and you see that, same idea in Sefer Tehillim, you see that in Zohar, with them Tet Shari Tumah, and you see that in and you see that, and it's also logical with the theme of Chumash. There's a purpose in redemption, and God took side of our Sinai to become His people. If we're not willing and want to be His people, and that's, now the first generation had a good excuse, but it didn't work, it was a tragedy. And Kidman says that's when we learn the story, when we tell that story to our children, that has to be one of the educational messages, we have to be ready even though it's working. And we have to go. So, I'm ending up. But thank you so much. You have a fun time.
When you can be back, I know you're going to be back.
Can I stop it?
Well, yeah, stop it. Yeah.